It's time for another great episode of the Ringside Rant with your host from the hills of West Virginia, J.D. Justin Davis. And from Rochester, New York, this is RJ.
The pandemic has had a tremendous impact on sleep, insomnia, and anxiety. If you are suffering from sleep issues like half the world is, our sponsor, Real Sleep, has developed the world's first personalized sleep solution customized right to you. Unlike prescription and other over-the-counter sleep aids, their plant-based formula works with your body to get you to sleep faster, help you sleep deeper, and cut down on sleep disturbances. I'm always up at 4 o'clock in the morning for work. This is the perfect solution for a guy like me that has to get to sleep quick and stay asleep. While sleep is solitary, you are not alone, and Real Sleep is here to help. That is why we are teaming up with Real Sleep to give you 20% off your next purchase. Go to our link in the show notes and use the code POD to see why Real Sleep is the last sleep product you'll ever need. That promo again is POD, P-O-D.
Man Randy Savage, Sarasota, Florida. Come on in. You're going to be defending against the Dragon, Ricky Steamboat. What's the cup for?
WrestleMania 3, Pontiac, Michigan. Yeah, 90,000 plus people watching right there. And this is Ricky the Dragon Steamboat's cup of coffee in the big time. Yeah, cup of coffee in the big time, because you'll never get closer than now. I am the Intercontinental Heavyweight Champion, and I will remain the Intercontinental Heavyweight Champion. And George the Animal Steel on the outside will be no factor, yeah.
You say no factor. Obviously, he is a factor, or you wouldn't even brought it up.
Oh, wow. Mr. Sarcasm, yeah. I don't care if you got 23 wrestlers around the outside. It doesn't even matter, no, because I am ready, and I will not let this opportunity slip through my fingers. Cup of coffee, man, yeah. Man. Wow, man, freaked out.
It is Friday. It is 9 a.m. You know what that means. Another episode of the Ringside Rant this week. And this week, we have the honor of doing a remembrance episode with the man, the myth, the legend, J.D., Justin Davis. What's up, man?
Don't know who you're talking about. Ain't no J.D. here. No way.
All right, so take a shot, everybody who's listening to this episode right now, that we're playing a drinking game this week. Every time Justin does the Savage impression, good, bad, and different, you can make that opinion on your own. You take a shot of whatever drink you're drinking. So with that being said, you guys know what we're talking about this week. Randy Macho Man Savage. It's unbelievable to imagine that he's been gone 10 years already.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I'll never forget that day. It was all over the news. Like, Randy Savage, what happened? He like had a heart attack and crashed his car, and his wife was with him. Like, it was a awful story. And but, you know, miss him a lot, man. One of my absolute top five favorite wrestlers of all time. There's never been one before like him, and there'll never be another one like Randy Savage.
No, not even close. And we're gonna hopefully do some sort of respect to him and paying homage to him. We're gonna edit in a couple promos that we see fit that are some of his best ones that he's had, as well as the introduction we just heard of Pomp and Circumstances, that iconic music that he came out to. But yeah, he's one of those guys that unique.
I feel like we should talk about that music for a second.
Yeah.
That music is, as soon as you hear it, you know, it's Macho Man. And it was even a, you know, it's kind of like the graduation song or whatever. So you even knew the song before.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but now it's Randy's song. Like, he made it his own.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Even when I graduated college, I had to do the Macho Man and all that stuff. But I don't do the voice because I don't want to disrespect him, unlike Justin wants to disrespect him. But I'm kidding, of course. But yeah, that anytime you hear that, is it's always in my queue on Spotify to have it on there. And Savage and Piper, the only two wrestlers from when we were growing up that Gavin will actually go run, drop whatever he's doing. If he's in the house, he hears me playing it, or I'm watching a match or whatever of theirs. He's running out. He's sitting down in front of the TV and he's watching the match, whoever it is they're facing.
Yeah. Piper's music was a lot the same way, you know, just iconic to him, you know, him, Flair, Macho Man. Their music kind of were just signatures of themselves. You know?
And their music in the WWF, their music in WCW even, was very similar.
Mm-hmm. Macho Man first went over to WCW, they kind of switched it up and they did like an "oh yeah" at the beginning, and then they played kind of the same type of music.
And he even towards his end of his career there in WCW, they kind of did, like, I think it was more of a rock music than it was the Pomp and Circumstances esque. But yeah, it's that's a type of, maybe we'll, one of these episodes we'll go through
best wrestling music
or something. Yeah,
that's definitely a show.
Yeah, that's going to be a show. That's definitely going to be a show. But without further ado, let's send it up to the ring with Mr. Rich Palladino for the opening contest.
Ringside Rant fans, it's the opening contest.
So, Justin, Macho Man Savage has 29 championship reigns with 11 titles during his 32-year career, 2 as WWF champion at that time, 4 as WCW heavyweight champion, the world heavyweight champion, that is, and 1 time IC title, intercontinental champion, that is. 87 WWF King of the Ring and the 1995 WCW World War III winner.
I'm sure he put that up on his mantle.
Of course.
1995 World War III winner.
Of course. I figured that'd be front and center. I figured he'd probably be like buried with it or headed in the funeral or the cemetery or something with him. But Bill Simmons from ESPN was quoted saying that Randy Savage was described as one of the greatest pro wrestlers who ever lived. A statement that's been echoed and echoed and echoed several times by personalities in sports, wrestling, entertainment, whatever. He's up there, man. He's probably top five. He's got to be on that Mount Rushmore whenever anybody ever talks that Mount Rushmore, because in that wrestling community that we are in, podcast community, whatever, if he's not on that. He's like 5B because... Well,
you know why he was just so good? It's because not only could he work, and he was a great worker, an unbelievable worker, but also his persona was over like no other. Mm-hmm. He was the most, other than Hulk Hogan, everyone, you know, he's the most famous wrestler at the time. Everybody knew Macho Man Randy Savage. Everybody to this day, if you walk up to the street and ask a random person and say, hey, do you know, can you do the Macho Man voice? No problem. Hell yeah, man. Oh, got it right here. Yeah. You know, everyone fucking knows it. So it is, he's absolutely famous. His gimmick was over as can be. He was over with the fans, whether he was a heel or a face. They loved him anyways. Just unbelievable. What a career, really, when you look at the whole entirety of it.
Mm-hmm. And just to put such a light on, outside of being holding title after title after title, he main evented WrestleMania 5, 4, yes, 8, and being a part of a double main event in WrestleMania 7 with when he had the retirement match with Warrior. That was the same year that Slaughter and Hogan fought for the title. And then for the four of the first five SummerSlam shows he was on, 95 Starrcade, he was inducted to the Wrestle Observer Newsletter Hall of Fame, WWE Hall of Fame then in 2015. The laundry it's a laundry list of accomplishments that
accolades.
There we go. I'm a good sayer of words, I swear to God. That's being said, there's just so much outside of that. We saw him in the movie, the Spider-Man movie.
Slim Jim still sells his likeness.
There is still, I go to for work, because I deliver to a lot of gas stations for work. And every single time I'm still seeing I'm sure you've seen it. Mm-hmm. You see in those containers that hold the Slim Jims of Macho Man still. And I still cannot get one because there's so many people that want it. They raffle it off at these gas stations. Mm-hmm. They donate the money to, and that's fine. Donate the money to whatever.
I think our good friend Stoner Dale was able to acquire a Macho Man Slim Jim thing from the store.
Yeah. And I know there's a bunch of other individuals out there, other podcasts out there doing the favorite podcast that have it, because it's just one of those relics that it's a nostalgic feel. That it brings you back to whether it was WCW or whether it was WWF or whatever.
But also the fact that they are still using his likeness and him to sell Slim Jims when he's mm-hmm. been dead for 10 years and people still know the Macho Man.
Well, but it was even before he was passed on, even after he got out of the wrestling, after his TNA run there, that brief run that he had in TNA, after the WCW run, he was still getting those Slim Jim ads, those Slim Jim royalties, whatever. So, and I'm sure his wife is very well taken care of by just strictly by Slim Jim in general. And on top of the wrestling business, that I'm sure he's getting royalties from that. I know he has a pro wrestling t-shirt store.
While we're talking about this and kind of the Hall of Fame and everything, it is a shame. I do hate it that he had to go in posthumously. Everyone knows he should have been in way before he went in.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what the problem was with waiting on so long to get him in there, but I definitely wish they would have.
Well, and I think it was just that issue between Vince and Macho Man, whatever the hell it was. I know at the end of October there in 94, Savage's WWF contract was expiring.
And see, I keep hearing this story that Vince was mad because Macho didn't tell him he was leaving, which I don't think that's the bottom line at all, because Vince is way too, you know, he'll put on his big boy britches. That's not going to piss him off. He's been around so many blocks about, you know, letting people go and then coming back and everything else. I don't think Randy leaving without telling Vince, I don't know, maybe it did, but I don't think that's the main reason why there was an issue there.
I don't think it was either, because as much as shit there was between the two,
Macho, and I'm just speaking of my opinion. Obviously, that's what this whole damn show is about, is our opinions. Is Macho Man, to me, would be the type of guy. He's an old school guy. His brother Lanny was in it. His father was in it. He's in it. And he would do it the old school way of telling him, hey, I'm leaving.
Yeah.
Similar to what Kevin Nash Kevin Nash was saying, I'm leaving. Razor's leaving. Writing was on the wall with them. But to stay on topic with Savage, I would have just thought that he would have told him. And he made his television debut, or excuse me, his final WWF appearance on the Halloween episode of Raw there in 94. Went over to WCW, and I believe he made his first appearance on December 3rd, I believe, of 94 on Saturday Night, their Saturday Night program that Tony did, which I remember seeing live, because I was always, I don't know about you, but I was always one of those kids that were sitting right smack dab in front of the TV on Saturday night to watch WCW.
When I could go to my grandma's, because she had cable and I didn't.
Right, because it was 6:05 on Saturday night. You knew where I was going to be. It was in front of that TV. And I was very fortunate, you know this, to have satellite with my grandma, who was living next door. Ran it over. And we were very fortunate to be able to watch WCW, because if that wasn't the case, I wouldn't have obviously turned into a bigger WCW fan than I was WWF fan at that time, obviously until they got bought out. But just to see Savage on WCW television, it was just mind-blowing initially. And then it kept going, kept going, and kept going. And he knew he still had it. And I think
he was definitely one of those big, big pieces that Ted got.
Mm-hmm.
First he got Hulk, and he's like, man, now I can get Macho Man. Like, Macho Man was synonymous with the WWF, and so was Hulk Hogan. And Ted was trying to steal the jewels there in a way. And once once Hogan went over to WCW, I don't know if Randy would ever admit this, but I bet once Hogan went over, he was probably thinking, man, Hogan goes over there, money to be made. Uh-huh. And he's,
But the thing is, though, you knew the money was going to be there, because you knew Ted Turner had a shit ton of money that he was going to throw these guys. And rightfully so, these guys still could work. Obviously, they're not putting on, you know, 10-star matches in the Tokyo Dome by any means, but just to get that recognition, that face that runs the place. To take a line away from AJ Styles, but Savage did it, Hogan did it, Piper did it. A lot of these guys, Hall and Nash eventually did it, Luger did it. And it was that promised land of the guarantee contracts that they had. And Savage got thrown right into it right away, made the save on Hogan against the Faces of Fear match at Starrcade. And he
won the world title too long after.
Exactly. And he hit the ground running. And that's, I think, what he wanted to basically shove it in Vince's face and say, hey, fuck you. This is what I can do. This is what I could have done for you.
Yes, exactly. I mean, basically Vince wasn't using him as a wrestler, and he, mm-hmm. you know, felt like he, should be wrestling. And obviously I agree that he shouldn't be announcing. I love you.
Oh,
Randy,
no.
Shouldn't be announcing.
No, not, and it shouldn't have been announcing. It shouldn't. And I think there was also a rumor and innuendo that he was thinking that he was going to be a manager. And that was stupid. You don't, to take another line from a movie, being Dirty Dancing, you don't put Baby in the corner. You don't put Randy Macho Man Savage in the fucking corner. You put him out there and he's going to put asses in seats. And it went to show you.
I mean, I can tell you, I feel like, and I know they had a little feud, but I felt like you could have had a good feud with Yoko and Randy when Yoko was champion, and you know,
I really think that Savage really could have got Yoko over a lot more, because you could.
Not saying that Brett didn't, but
well, no, but it's you're not comparing apples to apples. It's apples and oranges when you're comparing Brett to Savage. You can't. Two totally different type of performers, but yeah. He could have gotten over. You could have great shit with him, with Razor, with Diesel. And this is obviously being said if Diesel didn't go over, if Razor didn't go over to WCW, obviously everybody, nothing changed.
To rebook things, it would be really interesting to think about how things would have been if Savage stayed at WWE.
Oh shit. You could have seen him and Owen even. And that's obviously looking at it now. We could fantasy book this stuff until the end of time, until the end of the show.
How about Savage and The Rock?
Yeah, that could have. What could have been? But that's the thing, and I think he had to make the decision for himself and for his career, and I think he made the best decision because he went to WCW. You're guaranteed stuff.
I think Savage and Mick Foley would have been crazy too.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
They would have just tried to one up each other.
Oh, they're two crazy sons of bitches. But. There was, I think, his addition, his debut into the WWF back in 85, June of 85 to be exact, wherein Vince ended up signing him and is basically billing him as the quote unquote top free agent of in professional wrestling. And he was coming out of
his dad's territory.
He was coming out of the territories, and that's what Vince was doing then. He was grabbing these guys like he did with Hogan, like he did with his Sheik, he did with the Russians. Got a lot of these guys out of Mid-South. He got a lot of these guys out of AWA, of Vern's territory. That's where he got Hogan and he got the Sheik. But
yeah, Hogan and of course, everyone he had back then was from territories. Where else would you come from?
Right.
But there was some really, the Ted DiBiase pickup and what he made him into, and Jake Roberts. And, you can go down the list, but Macho Man's definitely at the top of that list. Him and Hogan have, guys that McMahon plucked away from the territories.
Look at Piper. Piper, he's coming out from out west. He was out in Washington State, out in California, working the Cowl Palace. And like I say, you get all these. That was a great time, man. You get a lot of these guys from the Texas territories, from the sportatoriums.
Piper worked a lot for Don Owens in Oregon, Washington area.
And made a name for himself. He worked a lot with Pat Patterson, too.
Yeah.
And that was when wrestling was wrestling, man. And we've had the conversation before when we haven't been recording. And just to see the fanfare that when he came in on Tuesday Night Titans, you see all these great managers, these Hall of Fame managers. You had Master Fuji.
Probably Classy Freddie Blassie.
Bobby Heenan, Johnny Valiant, Jimmy Hart. All these great managers, these Hall of Fame managers, and nope, not one of them introduced Miss Elizabeth.
Absolutely.
And don't care. Anybody that grew up watching the WWF in the 80s, 90s, Miss Elizabeth was your first wrestling crush. It was mine.
She always and forever will be a number one hottest wrestling.
Oh,
chick of all time. Like Miss Elizabeth in 1987, 1988, 89 was absolutely unbelievably beautiful and classy beautiful, which is what made it even better.
Right. But it goes beyond that. Like you said, classy. And especially at this time, we're not going to see, obviously, with the Attitude Era, totally different animal. But Miss Elizabeth, she was the first lady of professional wrestling, because you had on one side, you had Miss Elizabeth. On the other side, you had Queen Sherry, or Sensational Sherry, we should say.
I want to hear the story of how Randy sold that to Vince. Because
Sherry or Elizabeth?
No, Elizabeth. He's like, listen here, Vince.
been thinking on who my manager's gonna be, uh-huh. Gotta be Elizabeth. Listen, why? Because if I go out to the ring, I can't see where she's at. So she's gotta be beside me so I can make sure Hogan ain't trying to fucking fondle her. Yeah, dig it.
So just a little peek behind the curtain, folks. Whenever Justin does the Savage impression, his face turns completely bright red, and I think his head's going to pop like a goddamn pimple. Just a little peek behind the curtain. But anyways, I totally agree with you on that. That whole shtick. And there's always, you can only believe so many rumors out there. That, oh, well, Savage put Elizabeth in the locker room and locked the door and said, don't go anywhere. Okay, fine. Whatever. That A&E special, I don't know if you saw the Savage one.
I did.
That was an absolute burial.
Yeah.
Of Savage. Terrible. The Piper, I will give him credit. The Piper one was decent. I liked the Piper one.
I loved it.
I loved the Piper one. But
the Austin one was boring for me because it was just like a lot of stuff we already know.
Well, it's stuff you already know. But the Piper one
I liked, and the Savage one, they can throw that one in the trash.
You know, but a lot of the Piper one was, some of it wasn't, a lot of people didn't know that stuff, that he went out west. He was out of with Don Owens, with Pat Patterson out west at the Cow Palace in California.
You know, none of these episodes are going to be as good as the upcoming Bret Hart episode, RJ. That'll be the best one.
Without question.
I should say that'll be the most excellent one.
The best there was, the best there is, the best there ever will be. All right, we got that out of the way. So you had to get at least one Bret Hart goddamn mention in this episode, each and every episode. But we'll get into it a little bit more in depth when we talk about when we do a rants and raves, we're doing our favorite Savage matches. And obviously we're going to talk about this later, but I just wanted to mention it now. Was he's probably best known for his IC reign when he beat Tito at, I believe it was Boston Garden at the time. And he would then go on, obviously, the famous match, WrestleMania 3, Pontiac Silverdome with Ricky the Dragon Steamboat.
Just watched it a little bit ago.
Yeah, that's one of those matches you watch over and over again, never gets old. 19 near falls. And then Steamboat pins with Savage with a goddamn roll up. And that is just unreal, man. Absolutely unreal of a match. And like I said, we'll get more in depth in it later, but I just wanted to, you know, initially get that initial thought on that.
Well, it's considered definitely probably in the top. I think most people consider that and Steve and Brett's match one or two as WrestleMania.
One,
matches.
Two. Oh, yeah. And then you put Rock and Austin in there, one of their trilogies of matches. You put one of Angle or Shawn's match, whatever. That, like I said, that's going to be a conversation for another episode as well, I have a feeling. But this match ended Savage's 14-month reign as the Intercontinental Heavyweight Champion.
That's what I loved
Think about that for a second. I know. 14 months.
That's what I loved about both of his first title reigns, like the Intercontinental and his World Heavyweight Championship in 89, where he had that one for a year, and he had the Intercontinental for over a year. So it just sold him as, you know, I'm a real fighting champion. I'd fight anyone, and I'll keep it right here. Uh-huh.
Well, and I think a lot of people always throw shade on it when you're seeing a lot of these guys. I know Nick Aldis gets a lot of shade now because being the NWA champion, it's a pandemic area. He's not wrestling. Bullshit. And I call it bullshit because there is very few people in that promotion and even in the WWF in the 80s. That could hold a title for that long and keep it relevant.
Yeah, keep it interesting. Yeah. Well, and you didn't have TV every week, you know, right. Kind of. I mean, right. You did kind of, but I don't know what they were doing in Allentown, Pennsylvania every Saturday or whatever.
They're doing their house shows. They're doing their house shows Saturday and Sunday or Friday, Saturday and Sunday, whatever. But he's still facing. This is when you would face the same guy night in and night out. You'd face Steamboat every night. You face Santana every night. You face Dino Bravo every night, whatever the case may be. Right. You go to certain at this time, you still had certain territories, excuse me, territorial rules where you go up north, you'd face, you know, a couple of the Canadian guys, you'd face one of the, Dino Bravo, or you face Earthquake when you're in this part, or you face, Harley Race when you go down south, or whatever. But it just goes, it blows my mind when they do that. But
that whole late 80s, that from going to Intercontinental to World Champion to turn it into a baby face with the Mega Powers, to then, of course, the Mega Powers explodes, pal.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have their blow off, and then he moves into the Macho King, which I don't think gets enough credit, but no. The Macho King, I love. I know Conrad's a big fan of the Macho King character. I am too. Huge. Well,
but when
him
you
and Sherry,
we reinvent yourself as that heel, and we've had the conversation. We grew up with those wrestling buddies. You had the Savage, you had the Hogan. That's what we had growing up, my brother and I. And you always wanted
I had Hogan and Big Boss Man.
Yeah. Well, but they're all great though. And I always, if you can see it behind me, it's right here. Where is it? I got to point to it right there. It's the WrestleMania 3 robe. And we'll get into that even later on. But
I got some robe notes here ready.
Of course you do. But I always thought of him in the yellow boots, the pink tights with the white stars. That's mm-hmm. When I think of Randy Savage, that's what I think about.
Absolutely.
But when you had the Macho King with Sherry, that you reinvent yourself like that, man. That's unreal. He comes out with that. I don't even know what the hell it's technically called.
He was so good about reinventing himself. He would reinvent himself, but he never went too far from the character.
He'd always come back a little bit.
Macho Man was still there in the middle of it. It was just a little different mm-hmm. aspect of it.
Mm-hmm. But even you go back and you watch a lot of that stuff, and even towards the end of his WWF career, there in 94, 93. And I wish, knock on wood, if things were different and he'd come back for that one last run in the company. His last match there at WrestleMania 10 was absolutely shit.
Yeah, he had
with Crush.
Yeah.
But that's not the, you could have done a lot with Crush. Crush was a good worker if you really put your mind to it.
I can't put my mind to it, RJ.
Savage could do it, man. Savage could get him over, man. Savage could get anybody over, I think.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Him and Crush were friends. That's why Savage told Vince he wanted to work with Crush at WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. And even Savage couldn't get it over because Crush is just Crush. I don't know.
Who knows? But whatever. I just wish he would have went on a better note with the company.
I can tell you, before we go into our favorite matches and stuff, but I talking about favorite memories as a kid, I remember being like 6-7 years old when that damn Cobra bit Randy Savage.
Oh, a snake with Roberts, man.
Yeah, that I loved. I mean, that's probably my most memorable. I was a little kid. I'm like, holy shit.
Mm-hmm,
there's
mm-hmm.
a snake biting my arm.
Right.
Like a Cobra.
And with blood, too. Obviously, there was devenomized. There you go. I don't know. I probably still didn't say it the right way. But that was low-key one of the probably better rivalries that he had.
Oh, my favorite part, though, leading into that whole angle was Randy got Jake in the back of the locker room. He's like, listen, I want to see that snake bite you right here, right now. And Jake's like, what are you talking about, Randy? And he's like, how do I trust you that doing poison in that snake? How do I trust you? And he's like, let me see it bite you then. Let me see it bite you. And so Jake had to have that thing bite him so that Randy would let it bite him when it went out there.
Right. But to go on those rivalries, who do you think is one of his better rivalries, considering WCW, mm-hmm. considering WWF? I still say, even though they had that one big, big match, it's got to be Steamboat, right?
No.
You don't think
me.
So? You
His
don't think
biggest
so?
Rivalry in life and in wrestling is
Hogan.
Hulk Hogan.
Yeah. Yes. But you got to you think about the guys he worked in that. We'll say with WWF, and then we'll go a couple of WCW. But Hogan, Warrior, DiBiase, Roberts, Steamboat,
Flair,
Santana. Those all Hall of Famers there, man. And then you go to WCW, you're facing Hogan in WCW. You're facing DDP, which really put DDP on the map.
Talk about that. That's probably the second best rivalry. Yeah.
You can at me at underscore ringside rant on Twitter if you disagree, but he put DDP on the map.
Absolutely.
In their rivalry in 97 in WCW, outside of Ray
it lifted DDP from that kind of like TV title, US title status.
Heavyweight title.
Yes.
But outside of the Rey Mysterio and Eddie Guerrero rivalry in 97, that was probably 1A, 1B rivalry in my eyes. And like you said, it elevated DDP to that next level. And Savage could do, like I said, Savage did that with everybody. And towards 2000, towards the end of WCW, I kind of blacked that out.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Once you get to about mid 98, maybe late 98 at the highest, that's when he was okay. Then he's starting the steroids and it's proven fact out there. He took steroids.
Yeah, I mean, he obviously got very big
right
toward the end.
And the writing was on the wall. And he knew he wasn't getting any younger, and he knew the company was going down.
One thing I will give him credit for about that end, that, you know, what's her name? George.
Gorgeous George.
Gorgeous George. You know, that whole ending there. The only thing I'll say about it is I felt like he was trying to be like millennial macho. Mm-hmm. Like, to try and, you know, change with the times again.
Mm-hmm.
And I get that, but he was a world champion with that gimmick, I think.
Yeah.
Towards the end there.
Yeah. But I don't know. I even his TNA brief run there, I blocked that last probably 2-3 years of his career. I block it out. Once you get past this whole thing he did with DDP, the stuff he did there, and
Wolfpack,
even the Wolfpack stuff.
It was cool when it first started.
But I meant Savage in there. Wolfpack in general was great. I loved it, but it just didn't.
It was a way to get him away from Hogan and form his own NWO, which I think everyone, it was a storyline that everyone could see, because him and Hogan just don't get along.
Yeah. Yeah. Just want to give a quick shout out to Devin Dowlings, who submitted that question for his best rivalry. I forgot to mention that when we talked, when I asked you about that, but he even offered another one, Devin, that is, that Dusty Rhodes, his rivalry there when he was Macho King. And it was the whole Macho King, Miss Sapphire, and Dusty, and him and Sherry. And that was low key. It was fun. It wasn't a serious one as Dusty and Flair, or Dusty and Harley, or Dusty and Magnum, or Dusty and Tully.
Speaking of, we were talking earlier about theme songs. That one's in my top 10.
Dusty?
American Dream. Side note.
We'll get on to the next segment after I mention this, because I want to get this out before I forget. I don't know if you had it. We're about the same age, because you're probably, what, 36, 35?
I'm 36.
Okay, we're the same age. And did you grow up, it was a white cassette tape with blue writing. And it had 5 songs on it.
Mm-hmm.
That was one of them. Yeah, that. You had Hogan. You had Macho Man. You had Warrior. You had Dusty. And I played that thing back in my day.
Would Demolition have been the other song?
No, it was. I might have been. No, it was Bruce Beefcake.
Oh, okay.
Oh my god. I don't even know whether. Honestly, I wouldn't bet on it, but my mom kept fucking everything in her basement when she moved,
including your hair.
yeah. No, that actually no, it went to my back. But you never know if I'm lying or not. yeah, that was one of those things that anybody that grew up, you're anywhere from the age of, I'd say 35 to 45, you grew up with that tape.
He's an American working hard for the man.
Bump, 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 bump. Oh my God. Now I'm going to have to go over it. When we get off, I have to go find that and listen to that now. Thanks, you asshole. but one guy that isn't an asshole like Justin is Rich Palladino. So let's send it up to the ring with him right now.
Hey guys, RJ here. I just wanted to take a quick moment off to tell you about a great new sponsor, Every Plate. At first, I was skeptic about thinking about meal kits might be too expensive, but now I'm convinced you can get the same deliciousness at a much lower price. Getting dinner on the table in my household has always been an issue between a full-time work schedule with myself and my wife, a 9-year-old in school. It was always a challenge, but now let Every Plate plan, shop, and deliver everything you need to cook a delicious meal at a delightfully wonderful price. Experience full plates and fuller wallets with America's best value meal kit. So think of it this way, guys. Go to every meal and get one meal that is the same price as one cup of coffee. And you know me, I love my coffee, but I love Every Plate even more. Every Plate provides easy to follow recipe cards and pre-portioned ingredients so you can spend less time preparing and cooking and more time spending with your family and loved ones. Get started with Every Plate right now for just $1.99 per meal, plus an additional 20% off another 2 weeks by going to everyplate.com and entering the code RingsideRant199. That is everyplate.com and entering the code RingsideRant199. Thanks to our great, great sponsor over at everyplate.com.
It is now time for Rants and Raves.
WrestleMania 3 at the Silverdome in Pontiac, Michigan. It's a day that I'm certain my guest at this time will not forget. I'm talking about the former Intercontinental Champion of the World, Macho Man
nothing
Randy.
Nothing means nothing.
Nothing.
Nothing means nothing. Man.
Nothing means nothing. What do you mean by that?
More. I'm talking about all the way to the top, yeah. Unjustifiably in a position that I'd rather not be in. But the cream will rise to the top, oh yeah. Macho Madness, yeah, has got more to offer than President Jack Tunney thinks that I got. Yeah, and I'm going to tell you something right now. Cards stacked against the Macho Man Randy Savage in WrestleMania 3. Yeah, let me say it, yeah. Let me say it out loud. And let me point to the president of the World Wrestling Federation. The Macho Man Randy Savage is not happy with your decision, yeah. I am the cream in the World Wrestling Federation.
Wait a minute, Brent.
And there is no doubt about it, yeah. You, Mean Gene Okerlund, you know that I'm the cream of the crop.
Oh, wait a minute, though, Randy. I've got to ask you very seriously. Do you blame Mr. Jack Tunney, the distinguished president of the World Wrestling Federation, for Ricky Steamboat being the Intercontinental Champion today?
Yeah, I do, yeah. Outside interference, yeah. In my moment of glory. Yeah, no, I'm living in a nightmare. And I am the cream. And now, not only the Intercontinental Heavyweight Championship belt must fall, but the World Heavyweight Championship belt. Because Hulk Hogan, yeah, I am the cream, yeah. The cream of the crop. And there is no one that does it better than the Macho Man Randy Savage. On balance, off balance, doesn't matter. I'm better than you are, yeah. And I'm talking to everyone in the World Wrestling Federation. And I'm even talking to President Jack Tunney, yeah. I'm on my way. And nothing is gonna stop me. Nothing's gonna stop me.
You know, just out of curiosity, Randy, and I certainly don't want to diminish your tremendous God-given talents, but I'm very curious. I haven't seen Elizabeth lately.
Yeah, she's on the outside of the ring. Does she interfere in matches? Yeah. Nothing, zero, yeah. Pure athlete, yeah. And I've been, maligned from the top to the bottom. And because they can't handle the Macho Man Randy Savage, the cream of the crop, nobody does it better.
So, Justin, it's Rants and Raves this week. I figured this week, and I know we talked about it before, is there's a handful of matches that Savage has had in his career that can be top five, top 10, whatever. We got two right now because I know we'll be able to talk about it for a well into the time, quote unquote, time limit that we do have of 25 minutes. And we'll probably go for longer than that, like we did on the last segment. But is what two matches, in your opinion, are Savage's best matches as a whole?
Well, if you say his best match, if I put my little brain together and think about his best working match, it's, you know, without question, as Mr. Schiavone would say, it's Macho Man Steamboat WrestleMania 3.
Mm-hmm.
It is an absolute masterclass on how to do professional wrestling. Obviously Macho Man got a hold of Ricky Steamboat before and had, like, I don't know, 50 to 80 something moves written down, and we're going to do this and you're going to do this and you're going to do this. Okay. Yeah. You know, and then,
mm-hmm.
you know, Randy was one of those perfectionists, and WrestleMania 3, the biggest stage of all time. He wanted to steal that show, and he did. Him and Ricky Steamboat absolutely stole that show. Talking about robes earlier, he came out in this match in a purple and teal robe with white feathers on the front. Not my favorite robe of his, but I didn't hate it. You know, purple and teal Charlotte Hornets. I had that starter jacket as a kid. You can't go wrong with that.
I had it too.
Liz looked absolutely hot as hell in this match in a little pink dress. Some more notes I had, you know, they did a very nice spot where Savage he could sell when he wanted to. And Ricky, it was just a little arm bar that Ricky Steamboat put him in and, mm-hmm. you know, twisted his arm up around. And then Ricky lifted him up and Savage jumped off the mat and Ricky slammed him back, you know, down to the mat with the arm bar. It was just a little move that you don't really see anymore. Mm-hmm. But I was watching that match a little earlier today to get prepared for this. And I thought, you know what? They just did stuff so good and crisp. And everything, you know, mm-hmm. and they just, the match is unbelievable. There's nothing else to say about it. You know, obviously Steamboat goes over and becomes Intercontinental Champion, and Randy puts him over great. I'm disappointed that Steamboat didn't stay around longer and didn't have a better career, because this would have been a good jumping point, you know, getting put over by Randy, and then he could have, but I don't know, something in WWE, Ricky just didn't get over huge as much as he was in WCW.
Well, and I think at this time that match was 87, was WrestleMania 3, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that time that was a big man sport. You had Andre, you had Hogan, you had even Beefcake was a taller dude. You had Demolition were bigger dudes. You had
Big John Studd.
You had Powers of Pain. You had guys. It was a big man sport.
But you know what? This match also was the match that started the attitude of the Intercontinental belt is the workers' belt.
Right, right. And that's what put it on.
This is where this got, you know, this kind of put the title, the Intercontinental title on the map.
Mm-hmm. But that, yeah, exactly. And that's really what, like you said, it started that. And I think, yeah, to what you said about Steamboat, why he didn't get over. And like I said, that was the main reason. It was a bigger dude sport. It was a bigger dude's promotion.
Savage got over as a smaller guy. But Savage had that charisma, that persona. Steamboat didn't have those great.
No.
You know,
he didn't have the promo skills like Savage did. Because
he didn't have the character. Like, he wasn't the Macho Man. Oh. You know what I mean? He was just Ricky Steamboat doing a promo.
And that's what set him apart, Savage, that is. And that's what's put hit Savage apart from everybody else. And the only guy in the WWE, to my opinion, that got over more with his promos.
Hogan.
And what's that?
Hogan, probably.
Farther close to the now is in a small being a smaller dude was Eddie.
Oh,
and because what he didn't make what he couldn't do in the ring, he made up for on the microphone. Because he was a smaller guy. Savage was a smaller guy.
Jericho is another guy.
Right. You know. But it goes to show you, and I think it pretty much worked out pretty well for Steamboat because he went over to WCW and had his trilogy of matches with Flair. So it worked out.
I'm sure guys like Jericho and Guerrero and Benoit, I'm sure they would probably point to the Macho Man as probably a big influence to them just because he was kind of a smaller guy like they were, you know.
I'm sure they would have. And I sure they saw him when he came over to WCW before they jumped ship over to the WWE in 99 there, right? That they came over with the rat 99 2000.
My second match, my favorite Savage match is Hogan Savage, WrestleMania 5. Probably I can't think of, maybe other than Andre Hogan, a better build to a match than Hogan and Savage. I just feel like Vince did this so good. They had him as the mega powers with Miss Elizabeth. They break him up and lead this up to, you know, WrestleMania 5 and make Savage the heel again. And just the whole storyline and how, you know, Savage was mad at Miss Elizabeth because, you know, all that stuff. And I think that match actually breaks them up, right? After that, we have Savage and Sherry together. So a lot of stuff come out of this match, but... So I watched this match just a little video before recorded, just to kind of brush up. This is a match that I had not watched in a long time, just because I'd seen it so much as a kid and you just kind of, you know. So I decided to watch it again. And the first thing I noticed when I turned on the cock, RJ, is that Rockin' Robin sang America the Beautiful at the beginning of WrestleMania 5. And it was
I saw that
horrible rendition that you could ever imagine. I'd rather have her brother Jake Roberts singing it. Anyways,
oh God, I'd rather have the Red Rooster.
Randy's orange and green robe was amazing for this match.
It's one of my five.
Yeah, one of my favorite robes that he's ever worn. It was orange and green. My favorite personally is the blue and white one that he wore in 88 or something.
That's my favorite right there from WrestleMania 3. Shout out to Handsome Andrew over at Outlaw Jamboree for that question as well.
Yeah.
But yeah,
this orange and green one was pretty sweet. I liked it. Gorilla and Jesse were absolutely amazing. I listened to them throughout the whole match and they were amazing. Just that's what wrestling announcing is supposed to be. And then Hogan got juice in a match, of course.
Of course.
And speaking of Hogan, and I tweeted about this today, and Mr. the mortgage seller down there in Alabama retweeted this, and he's right for once.
Really? Surprising.
Yeah. I mean, Cody Rhodes told him that Hogan's theme music in WCW, American Made, is better than Real American in WWF. Now, Cody Rhodes is insane. And first of all, Conrad said that he almost unfriended him from Facebook over the comment. I think he should have. And I think he should have never spoken to him.
I didn't know he was on Facebook anyways. But anyways, that's un-American.
It's not even, I don't even want to talk about it anymore. It upsets me so much. First of all, Real American, we go back to wrestling music. Real American is on the Mount Rushmore.
Oh, without question.
Yeah, without question. And so, and I tell you what's not American Made.
American Males. American Males.
Neither is American Males. And guess what? The same son of a bitch wrote both songs.
Jimmy Hart.
Yeah. I love you, Jimmy.
Oh, Jimmy's the man.
I met him at StarCast. He's awesome.
I met him once too. I met him at an indie show. He's a good dude.
I got my picture with him and I had my Bret the Hitman Hart t-shirt on and he had his Hart Foundation tag team t-shirt on. He said, "Nice shirt, baby." I was like, "You too, Jimmy."
Of course you did. I'm pretty sure we should put a poll the over under and how many Bret Hart shirts you have. It's probably over a dozen at this point. But
you would like to know that I had one in junior high, the old Hart Foundation shirt back in the 90s. I wish I still had that, but I don't. But I only have one Bret Hart shirt and I have an Owen Hart shirt. That's it. I have two.
Yeah. Oh, well, that just, okay. Spoiler alert. so my two matches is, we mentioned his rivalry with DDP, put DDP on the map. I'm going to take you back to Halloween Havoc 97. One of my favorite pay-per-views of WCW.
No, for sure.
And I'm sure it's on a laundry list of other individuals too, for their favorite pay-per-views, but this is one of the unsung matches that were on this card. Obviously, when you say Halloween Havoc 97, you think Ray and Eddie at Havoc. But Macho Man versus DDP, Las Vegas sudden death match. Unreal match, hardcore match, outside match. They beat the Evan Livin piss out of each other. And they still had matches after this, in this rivalry. The match that, I don't know if it was this one or another one, that says, yeah, Savages, I'll put you over, brother. I'm going to put you over. I'll take the Diamond Cutter tonight.
Yeah.
And that goes to show you, Macho Man didn't do that for a lot of people.
You know what I always loved about Macho, though? I think in his whole career, he didn't give a shit putting anybody over. Like, it was never about that to him. You know, it was about making money and making the fans happy. You know, if that meant him losing, that meant him losing.
But he even, I forgot who it was. I know it's somebody in the Conrad Thompson Empire podcast said it. I know it was Eric or Bruce or somebody. Might have been even JR. Macho Man, it was all about, like you said, it was all about the money. And as long as you get,
he cared about his performance as well.
I mean, he cared about his character too, because you got to get over, brother. You got to get over. And
you know, the thing is, Macho Man Randy Savage never needed a writer or Vince McMahon or anyone to help him get over.
Right.
He got himself over his whole life.
But he reinvented him time and time. We talked about Macho Man, Macho King. We talked about WCW Macho Man.
We should also say he is a former member of the greatest baseball club of all time. The
Yankees?
The Cincinnati Reds. No.
Who they ever beat?
the Yankees in the 1976 World Series.
It was before my time, so I don't care. But yeah, DDP, man, he credits Savage for getting him over, for getting him on the next level. Any interview you ever heard of DDP, he's always talked about Savage, of one of those guys that put him over, him, Dusty, Hogan, got him to that next level. And it goes to show you at this time, nowadays, being an older guy, it doesn't really make any difference. But here, Savage is an older dude, man. And even with DDP got into the business later too. But this match, it was just unreal. I ended up going back and watching it again earlier. And it really goes to show you how well Savage worked.
Yeah, I'm going to go back
with,
to watch
with,
that one.
With it's been a while anybody. With anybody. And this was earlier in his run there with WCW. I wouldn't say early. I'd say probably mid-run, because he came here in 84. And he exited, well, obviously, in 2000, give or take, with WCW. And I tried going back and looking at this and how many matches, like legitimate pay-per-view matches that they had together. And it wasn't just a trilogy, man. This was like, they literally in 97.
It was a year long feud.
It was a year long, all of 97. And the only one at that time that was that long was Eddie and Ray. And Savage and DDP always gets overlooked, and it pissed me off. Because I remember watching this, because this is when I was watching WCW in 97, 98, and even 96.
The overall feud was the NWO versus WCW, correct? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But this was the best inner feud of that. You know, DDP was the WCW stalwart, and Macho Man was representing NWO. And their feud just got going and there was no reason to stop it because it was just so good. Keep it rolling.
Yeah. Keep it going, man. And then my second match here was, we mentioned it briefly in passing as well, was Macho Man versus Ric Flair, WrestleMania 8 from in 92 there.
Absolutely.
And I believe that was the Hoosier Dome there in Indianapolis. And this gets overlooked because the pay-per-view was shit.
Yeah, that 91, 92, 90, 91, 92 is kind of hits me in the feels of when I was growing up. You know, we're the same age. And this one, and now look, I have so much more appreciation for this match now than I did back then. But watching these two amazing workers put over a great storyline with, you know, Rick saying that he banged her first, basically.
I had her first.
She rode Space Mountain before she got Savage. So anyway, it's just a good storyline, fun, but they had an absolute great match. Absolute great match at WrestleMania. You know, Randy was good when the money was on the line and so was Rick.
Yeah.
And they brought it in that match.
But the one thing that you go back, you take away from this match, like I said, these four matches, if you're listening to this and you're not familiar with Savage, you're younger, you don't know the older school matches, fine. Wonderful. Thank you for listening, first and foremost. But go back and watch these four matches because then you will learn how to appreciate Randy Savage, how well he worked, because now you hear all these interviews, all these podcasts, this one included, talking. We don't talk shit about him, but you always hear the bad shit about him. The rap that he did on Hogan, the crap that he did with Gorgeous George, the stuff that he did with Elizabeth.
I may or may not have fucked Stephanie McMahon. Oh.
Well, that too. That's neither confirmed nor denied, but. You always hear the bad shit. And for whatever you do, do not go back and watch it A&E thing. Cause that was absolutely, like I said, that was a burial of Macho Man to epic proportions, but go back and watch these matches because you really, learn how to appreciate Macho Man.
I mean, I just love the Flair Macho Man match so much because it's two territory guys that know how to get the fans involved in a match. And they're going to go do it. And they did. And I loved Macho Man in his black and gold attire in that match. And Rick, of course, in his classic red, which fed into the storyline that people now believe that whenever Rick lost big matches, he wore red. Because he wore red on that one. I think he wore
Undertaker. Red. Undertaker at one of the WrestleManias.
He was wearing red when he lost the title to Bret Hart in 92.
Yeah. The heavyweight title. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But this, like you said, this was great storytelling by two territory guys, guys that came up in the business, that knew the business like their back of their hand, that had Broadway matches.
Imagine these two worked maybe in the territories, but I don't know of it. This was their first time working in
because
the mainstream.
I'm pretty sure Savage was Georgia Championship Wrestling. And they had a cross.
No, I mean, they were in Louisville, but then he wrestled in Memphis. But I don't.
Randy did. But I don't think Flair did.
He was in Louisville and Memphis. But Flair could have came through Memphis. Maybe, I don't know.
Well, Flair would have came through Memphis. It was Savage was in Memphis in late
83. Where was it?
84. No. Where the shit was this note? I had it. I lost it. See, this is great. This is great podcast.
I was thinking that his dad.
Oh, here it is. Here it is. He had a. No, it's not. Shit.
I was thinking his dad's shit kind of went under right before he went to WWE. So then he started working some Memphis spots.
Because he had a Loser Leaves Town match in Memphis.
With Jerry Lawler
in June of '85.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. So I thought he went to Memphis after his dad shit shut down.
Correct. Correct. Yeah. You're correct on that. Yes. Yes. Because then we worked with Lawler and he went to with Vince. So I would have thought that that would probably have been the territory that they would have crossed paths.
They probably never worked together until this angle then.
But that's, yeah, like I said, that's probably what, because Flair was down south, NWA and Jim Crockett.
I'm glad we got this match. I mean, I guess everyone was expecting it to be Hogan and Flair at this WrestleMania. And that match would have been fine, but it would have not, we wouldn't have got this. And I wanted to have, I'm glad that we got Savage and Flair when they're both still in their primes.
Prime, yeah.
And not later on in WCW getting it for the first time, you know.
Right. And we still got it in WCW, but that was a shit show anyways, of epic proportions. But, one of my low-key favorite matches, not just with Savage, not just with Flair, in general. And it gets, like I said, it gets overlooked because WrestleMania 8 is shit.
Yeah,
because
it's a sneaky match that people don't talk about. It's one of those matches that just people don't talk about a lot. But to me, it's one of my absolute favorite matches is Flair and Randy here.
Yeah. So you can DM us, you can tweet at us at @_ringsiderant. Let us know what your favorite Randy Savage matches are, if they're not one of these four. There's a lot
of other good ones out there.
There's a lot out there, yeah. And let us know what you think, and we'll interact with you as best as we can. So, but with that being said, let's send it up to the ring to Mr. Rich Palladino for our last segment of this episode.
It's listener questions.
So pretty much we just got McClanahan's question. We have one last question that we didn't answer in the episode, Justin. It comes to us from our great friend, Michael McClanahan.
And what does he have to say about Charlotte Flair?
Oh, no, he's got plenty. As we're recording right now, we are recording during
WrestleMania Backlash.
Yeah, bullshit anyways. And we just missed that monstrosity of that triple threat. I'm sure we'll talk about it on the Zoom later with other top guys and gals. But anyways, he already got it over because it was the opening match and he's ready saying shit because she lost the triple threat. I'm like, what the hell do you want, man? I'm like, I give him props. He's very passionate about a very passionate fan for Charlotte Flair. And I get it. That's fine. Cheer for who you want. Whatever. Yeah. But this isn't the Michael McClanahan show as much as he would like it to be, or the Charlotte Flair show as much as he would like it to be.
We love Michael. Listeners, we are friends with Michael, and we have to see his everyday obsession with Charlotte Flair, which is why we are having some fun with him right now.
Every day. It's like an hourly obsession. but he asked us... Great transition. We can't get better than that. He asked, do you think Macho Man should have gotten a tribute show or a 10 bell salute when he passed in 2011?
Yeah, absolutely.
I
don't know about a tribute show because just he hadn't been around. I mean, there should have been a video, you know, played at the beginning and then a 10 star salute or 10 bells, whatever. 10 star. What is that? I got 10 stars in the military.
I don't know, man.
A 10 bell thing where, you know, all that. He should have had that. No doubt about it.
Looking at it now, they're just trying to, they didn't know what to do. And I get it because they still had that, what do you want to call it? Riff, we'll call it, between Savage and Vince. What truth be told, whatever the hell it was, obviously it's got brushed under the carpet when he was inducted in 2015. Unfortunately, it had to be posthumously, as we mentioned, and as all the wrestling fans know, at least give him the 10 bell salute.
That's what he deserves. When I think of the mid 80s, when Vince was really spending cash on WrestleMania and it had to work, and if it didn't work he was going to go under and all this shit. Well, to me, there's three names that saved his ass. Mm-hmm. I mean, as far as people that worked for him, that would be Hulk Hogan, Randy Savage, and Roddy Piper.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's,
so without Randy Savage, I wonder if WWE would be what it is today if he wasn't there in those years to help Vince get on.
Well, I don't think the I agree with you on that. I don't think the company as a whole would be where they are today. I don't think Hogan would have been as big as he was. I don't think the Warrior would have been as big as he is or was. A lot of these guys, because of Savage, DDP is another one. I think DDP would have gotten there eventually.
I don't know. Without that feud,
I don't know that he ever gets there. You don't. Well,
because the
NWO knows?
And everything was going on without his feud with Savage, it would have been hard for him to break out of that.
Yeah,
hole,
I guess that's true. So, but that goes to show you guys that that's something that he earned. He earned that respect. He worked in the company in the bad years, in those early mid 90s to early 90s when it wasn't popular, in those 80s, in the mid 80s that when it wasn't as good. Yeah. And I would have liked to see the fantasy booking it now is transplanting him, take him out of the 80s, 90s, whatever, and plant him. No. Put him in the Attitude Era.
Yeah.
And see how, maybe not the Attitude. I stand corrected. I put him in that 2000 to 2004
ruthless aggression,
that tail end of the Attitude Era, when you had the debut of Brock, you had Rock, you had Angle, you had Shawn, you had Triple H. Look at those goddamn matches, man. Look at the potential that he would have had to get these kids over. Obviously, hindsight being what it is, it wasn't going to happen because he was an older dude. But just to, you know, make him a few years younger, 10 years younger. It would have been totally different. I would have loved to see those matches. But to go more into the weeds with this question, but I knew we were going to get into the weeds with this. Any question Michael asks, we get into the weeds. So I appreciate Michael for asking these types of questions. I would have, like I said, I would have liked to see that 10 bells. He earned that. It's a tribute video. I think that would have been pushing it just because of the circumstances that were there at that time that we didn't know about until later on, obviously. But that company, he put the company on the map. He deserved at least that. And we even see it nowadays. We saw it with Pat Patterson being hindsight. That's what they should have given Savage. And by no means am I comparing Pat Patterson to Savage, by no means, but two groundbreaking performers, personalities, people, guys in general.
Yeah, both guys very instrumental to WWE.
Right, and just wrestling in general, and that's definitely something that they should have, they deserve to have. But like I said, appreciate Michael for asking us those questions. And that's pretty much going to put a wrap on it this week, guys. I appreciate everybody that has listened to the last couple of weeks of this episode with Justin and myself. We're all kind of hoping for our third man in the booth, Canadian Travis. He was supposed to come in, but he ended up not come up with his son, which we completely understand. So probably next week, as you're listening to this, we're going to have our third man in the booth. We'll try to figure something out to do next week with him that's extra special. But with that being said, Justin, how can they follow you online?
Well, before I get there, I just want to say it's been a pleasure remembering the life of Randy Savage on the 10-year anniversary of his death. Truly one of a kind. They'll never make another one like Randy Savage. And it's fun, you know, remembering his career and all the things that he did for us as fans. I'm thankful for him. But you guys can follow me at JD2040 at the Twitter machine.
And it'll be in the show notes as always, as usual. Anyways, you can follow the show at underscore ringside rant on Twitter and Instagram. Go over and follow us on wherever you get your big podcast, wherever you hear in this podcast, you can find it there. You can find us on the Full Press Radio Network as well as the Shining Wizards Wrestling Network. Big props to those two great platforms that that have been allowing us to be on their platforms over these last Shining Wizards have been fairly recent, and then Full Press have been about a year or so. So I appreciate everybody over there, the great team over there of podcasts. Check all those great guys out over there. You can check out the merchandise store at ringsiderant.whatforapparel.com. We do have, if you have not seen, we have some great new items. We have coffee cups over there now. We have long sleeve t-shirts over there. We have tank tops for Justin to show off his guns out there in the hills of West Virginia. And I'm sure he'll sunburn like a goddamn lobster. We also have our wine tumblers as well.
I could use those.
So those have the show logo. You could head over there to, like I said, ringsiderant.whatforapparel.com. Check them out there as well. If there's anything out there that you want and that we don't have the capabilities of getting them, I know we've gotten some suggestions for hats. We have to get to the right connections. I have a couple connections. I can get those. But if there's needs
for the hats, you can get.
Yeah, no kidding.
There's no doubt about that.
Well, I get hat hair, so I can't wear it too long. But yeah, seriously, go guys, check it out. Let us know what you want. If there's something out there that you want, we can certainly get it for you. But first and foremost, rate us, review us, let us know what you think. We really do appreciate all the great feedback we've gotten from people like Michael, from Coach, from Amy. Amy's given us a lot of great feedback. Mark Nelson, the fucking Mark. Oh, it's you're doing.
Who's that? Who's Mark Nelson?
I don't know. Who'd he ever beat? But no, seriously, everybody in the AFS family, they're giving us a lot of great feedback. And even outside, Good Cop, Bad Cop with Graham and Matt Willis giving us great feedback. They're always helping us out. You know, Devin Dowling. We've had.
Thanks, Devin, for the questions, man.
We really appreciate all the questions everybody's asked. I apologize if I'm missing somebody out there, but I really do appreciate, and I know Justin does as well, for giving us this feedback. We don't know what we're going to be doing next week, so we can't really plug it just yet. We'll have to look at the old calendar. I'm not yet up to date on that. Maybe that's something I'll get used to doing a little bit later, Justin. Hopefully take a page from a good friend of the show, Conrad Thompson there. So
it's called preparation. I think Conrad can tell you a little bit about that.
Well, all I have at this time, it's not preparation, it's called perspiration.
You have more like preparation age.
Yeah, that's terrible, man. That's terrible. How dare you? But on that note, we're going to call it a night. Call it an episode right here for the Ringside Rant. Tune in next week. Tune in and follow us across all social medias to make sure that you follow the show and find out what we're doing next week for the show right here on the Ringside Rant. So thank you, guys, and we'll see you next week.
Peace and love.